In the fifth episode of Bauma Talk, we delve into one of the most pressing issues in the construction industry today, sustainable building practices. As environmental concerns grow and governments impose stricter regulations, the construction sector faces both immense challenges and unprecedented opportunities. In this episode, we will explore how decarbonization works by the example of the concrete industry. 7%, that's the cement industry's share of global CO2 emissions. A staggering number for a material many of us take for granted. Cement is the foundation of modern infrastructure. It holds up our homes, cities, and bridges. But it's also one of the planet's biggest climate offenders. If we want to meet global climate goals, this industry needs more than a facelift. It needs a full transformation.
Bauma Talk. Insights into the construction machinery industry.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Bauma Talk. So good that you're joining us today. In our fifth episode, we dive into one of the most complex and overlooked challenges in the fight against climate change: decarbonizing the cement industry. Why is it so hard to make cement sustainable? What innovations are emerging, and how can this industry move from being part of the problem to part of the solution? To help us explore these questions, we are joined by Professor Dr. Georg Locher, a leading expert in the field. He will explain why recycling concrete is such a challenge, which breakthrough technologies are on the way, and why progress depends as much on collaboration and political will as on technical innovation. A warm welcome, Professor Locher.
Thank you very much for having me.
By the way, is it okay to drop your professor title and just call you Georg?
Of course.
Okay, then the road is well paved. And before we start, could you briefly introduce yourself, perhaps in just two or three sentences, so that we get a sense of what drives you in your field?
Yeah, I regard myself as a constructive climate activist, and I got first contact to that in 1978 already. So it's hundreds of years ago, to say so. Anyway, it's a long time ago. And they had at that time a TV program which was anticipating exactly our current discussion on climate change. That is where I come from. And today I'm working for the Schwenk Company. Schwenk is a family-owned company with 176 years of experience in this field, owning 4 cement plants in Germany, 2 in the Baltics. We touch that probably a little later as well. And my task is here to develop the technological path towards CO2 neutral building materials production.
So it's all about family affairs at Schwenk.
Yes.
Thank you so much for telling us more about your vita. Before we dive in, let's kick things off with a lighter question, maybe. If you could inscribe one message into concrete, what would endure for centuries? What would it be?
Yeah, I'm a German, and I have a very nice quote of Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. He said, translated into English language, "Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do." And that, even though I don't know that for a very long time, just for a couple of years, it reflects very well that what I personally feel, what should be done, and I think also what is exactly showing us what we have to do in our industries yet.
That's a powerful quote indeed. What does this sentence mean to you, and how do we best get into action? What do you think?
First of all, from my perspective, other than in other parts of industry and business life, we first have to find respective technical solutions. That's one thing. And then also to pave the way to make these technical solutions happen. And there we are currently standing. Technical challenges are huge, but at the same time, also politics have to change drastically.
So, Georg, before we talk about the mentioned challenges and solutions, let's set the stage. Cement is the backbone of modern construction, and at the same time, its environmental footprint is massive. So, how would you describe the current state of your industry, and why is it such a critical sector for decarbonization?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, of course, concrete is a wonderful building material, so you can do so many things with that. However, in the past, in the recent few years, the CO2 emissions came to a high attention globally. So cement is responsible for 7% of the global emissions. But maybe one word before that, what is cement and concrete at all? So concrete consists of aggregates, that's basically crushed stone with certain characteristics, which are then bonded together with the cement. Cement is so the glue between these things. So the whole production of cement is highly energy intensive. That means with respect to both to thermal energy, because we need to fire it, and secondly, also with respect to electrical energy. The production in general is quite stable over the last 10 to 12 years. We are approximately at 4 gigatons annually since 2030. But before that, we had a huge increase. From 2000 to 2013, the increase was from 1.6 gigatons to 4 gigatons. So that is mainly due to the construction boom in emerging countries and the trend of urbanization. So to put that all in some more tangible figures, just imagine all the cement production. If you put that into one cube, then this cube for 1 year's production would have an edge length of 1.5 kilometers. The same for concrete, the same figure. The total concrete would fill a cube with an edge length of 2.3 kilometers.
Talking about the production and focusing on that, we are not just talking about the energy use. We are also talking about CO2, which is released directly from the raw material itself. So that means that makes decarbonizing cement fundamentally different from, say, switching power plants to renewables. Or is this a comparison that doesn't fit?
Absolutely. That fits completely. In the cement industry, the CO2 stems from the limestone. Heating up limestone to more than 800 degrees, and we need to heat it up to 1450, yeah, releases all the CO2 that is bound into the limestone. That's the main thing. So decarbonizing then the energy sector means building lots of solar parks and wind power stations. Of course, a huge challenge. Yeah, I don't want to talk that small. However, we have that what we call unavoidable emissions, and they stem from limestone.
And from your point of view, does the public fully understand how significant the industry's footprint is, or is this issue still too little considered? What would you say?
Yeah, I would love if public would know much more about that. Looking onto climate change, I think it is also a must. And due to that, there is, of course, on one hand, a lot of scientific literature available on climate change. I mean, it is always today all over the global discussion. Of course, in the last few months and years, due to Russian war and so on and so forth, it got a little bit in the background. But I mean, the scientific literature is completely full of exactly the effect of CO2 and also the role of the cement industry contributing to climate change and what we can do and what we have to do. However, nobody reads all this scientific stuff. Nobody reads then the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. They have, in regular terms, they always publishing a lot of these things. And there it is completely undisputed what has to be done, in particular if it comes to CO2 and the storage of that. So you can read that. They claim that it is necessary until the end of this century to store then 300 to 1200 gigatons of CO2 in total. That's again a huge number. It is, to stay in my example with the dry ice, it would then be a dry ice cube, you know, dry ice that's very cold CO2. That cube would have an edge length of in between 6 kilometers, that would be then the counterpart of the 300 gigatons, or of 20 kilometers edge length. So it's a huge thing, and it is stated in the IPCC. But even today, organizations, to put it that way, organizations who always claim the IPCC, when they say it is necessary to do something, they do not tell you that the IPCC clearly states we need to have CO2 storage. Mm-hmm. And this point that's coming to your question, this is something that I would like to bring to the attention of many more people all around, in particular decision makers, and in particular also these green organizations who maybe sometimes didn't read these things carefully enough.
So as you said, it's not on top of the agenda, and we definitely have to translate it and to break it down a bit as well. Sounds a bit like a Mission Impossible, to be honest. But now that we have a sense of where industry stands, let's talk about the barriers to change. You've described why recycling concrete and scaling CO2 capture are massive challenges for your industry. And you've highlighted how tightly cement bonds with aggregates, making recycling nearly impossible. But nevertheless, are there specific technologies or approaches being developed to address this?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, to put the positive message in front of everything, concrete demolition waste is already used to a very, very large extent, and also for a long time. There's a lot of things going on in this field, and it has to be also done still quite a lot of these things. However, there's also something that needs to get a bit closer look, and that is the question on the recycling. So many people complain that much of this material of demolition waste from concrete is going into road construction. And then they say this is in principle not good. And then they come up with something like this is a downcycling. And on the other hand, they say if you take then and take in part then the lime from the aggregates, yeah, if you separate that, this is always good. This is always upcycling. This is always something that you should do. However, the real picture is not like that, black and white. For instance, you can take such a material, such demolition waste, and can put it into road construction. So it is lying there. Okay. You can, on the other hand, can put it into a fresh concrete. However, not always, but it can be that you then need to add additional cement in order to comply with quality standards. Mm-hmm. So you put another burden, if it comes to sustainability, you put another burden into the material that maybe is not so nice. And maybe you have to transport then all the material in this regard for a longer way. That means you also have then CO2 emissions and all the like from that one. So this is not always one way or the other way. So the key word in this is life cycle analysis. And this is done. It is not as spectacular. Now, it is not that easy. You have to make these investigations, and then, and only then, you can make a wise decision on what to do with the respective concrete.
And one more question on that. By using those materials, would you need new machines, or can you just use whatever you have? If we're talking about building streets, for example, and roads.
It's very often that you can still use respective machinery that is already there. However, these machines need to be then used in a different way. That means you can then use respective machinery. Yes, this is possible. However, under different process conditions. Mm-hmm. That means you need to have another regime. In my former life, when I led R&D in another company, we had such kind of machinery. In this way, we tried them out. One of these things is that what you just mentioned a little earlier. That means the separation of the lime, that means the cement paste, from the aggregates. We invested tens on 20 years of R&D work to get a very, very close bonding to that due to quality reasons, to high performance cements. Today, against the background of the recycling, we need to get rid of these very well performing bonds between these both.
Mm-hmm. So taking all of this into account, what would you say is the toughest challenge to tackle right now?
If you mean then the overall thing for the cement industry, if we are now going a little bit back from the recycling, which is for me important, but not as important as the other thing, that is definitely really currently one thing that is not understood completely fully as it should by public and by politicians. You know, we have a very, very strict EU ETS system. ETS means the CO2 system which we have in Europe, where we have to buy then respective allowances for emitting CO2 in the atmosphere. This system is agreed to end in 2039, period. That means in 2039, all these industries, including energy sector, etc., they all have to finalize until then respective measures to get completely CO2 free. This is a very clear thing. However, all the other measures which are required for the industry to cope with that, that means transportation of CO2, storage of CO2, all this framework is in principle at a level of strategies. Everyone has now a carbon management strategy, but a strategy does not help us any further. We need complete and ready to use directives on the European level, as well as laws, in particular here we in Germany, for our German plants. So this is completely missing, including the respective technological solutions, which are also not yet there on industrial level.
And regarding this massive transformation you've just talked about, it's quite a short time, I think, regarding those challenges you're facing here, to make CCS and CCU possible on a large scale. What do we need? I mean, this is such a topic, you know, it doesn't seem to be quite easy.
Yeah, we already touched a bit of that, but I can go a little bit more into the details of that. So looking just on the cement industry and in a little bit also lime industry and chemical industries, yeah, one of the main things is that we somehow need to get rid of the CO2. CO2, just to give you an understanding of that, CO2 comes along in these industry in vast amounts. That means, first of all, we have to capture that. We have to capture that from the flue gases of respective plants, in our case, the cement plants. That means we need to capture these huge amounts of CO2 over there. Then, in the next place, we have to somehow transport that. Transportation in these big amounts is only possible by either pipelines or trains. That means you can deep cool the CO2, yeah, to a temperature where it gets liquid, yeah, and then you can fill it into big tank wagons, which look a little bit similar to that, what you see then on the rails for liquid oil, for instance, something like that. So this whole infrastructure, that means also the wagons are not there yet. Pipelines are not near that. Ships are not there. Yeah, we are in Germany very much talking then about the storage of CO2 in Germany itself, but this is a very cumbersome thing. Other countries in Europe are by far more advanced in comparison to that. So we need to transport that material also by ship.
So it's a whole chain you have to think in this
context. It's a really big thing. Storages are not there. Yeah, all this industry is not there. It has to be established. So many people are working on that, including us. However, it is not there. And then secondly, also comes then, which I touched a little earlier, then legislation. Same story. We need their respective regulations which allow us to execute all these solutions which we are currently investigating and developing.
And talking about ideas coming from the EU side, we're talking about another approach. EU policies require new wind farms for green cement projects. How do these regulations hold things back?
Yeah, this is one thing which is very sad just from the recent time. Just to give you an idea, running a normal standard cement plant, yeah, requires then something like 25 windmills. Yeah, that's not, you cannot do it in practice, but just to talk about energy. So 25 for standard operation. If you now want to capture the CO2, then you need another 100. We can talk about maybe it's a few more, a few less, but that's the order of magnitude. This is just for capturing that. And thirdly, now if we want to convert the CO2 into something useful, the catchword for that is CO2 usage, CCU. Then, for instance, to go for sustainable aviation fuels, which is very much liked by the European Union, then we need another 800 or 1,000 windmills on top of that.
So that does mean it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't, in principle, I mean,
sorry
yes,
that I'm
yes.
that critical, but it sounds to me as if this is a really big hurdle we are talking
yeah.
about here.
And on top of that, I mean, the technical issues, you can imagine that if you just talk about these numbers. However, now comes the European Union and says, okay, you are very much welcome to do so, but you have to erect these 800 or in principle 1,000 windmills, you have to erect them completely new. You have to erect completely also the electrolyzers for that, completely new. And then you have to operate everything at exactly at the same time. So latest at that point, we are scratching our head and asking ourselves, mm-hmm. how will that be able to work? That's the that's a respective policy of the EU, which came into place something like last year. It's mm-hmm. a delegated act. Then the experts in the field, they know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was a little bit then the final kick for us to say it's not going to work. We can talk now endless also about hydrogen supply from outside, but time doesn't allow it.
But despite all these developments, you are in a good way. You are not standing still with your industry. This is why I would like to bring in some optimism and talk about the innovations and solutions that could pave the way for a greener future. Let's focus on the Mergelstetten pilot plant. It's an innovative research project on CO2 capture in your industry and a bold step forward. What's the idea behind it? What is this all about?
Yeah, that is devoted to the question of CO2 capturing. Yeah, capturing in principle is possible. There are numerous technologies around. However, they have not yet been proven on industrial size. And in my former position, when I was head of R&D in a company called Polysis of the ThyssenKrupp company, my team developed then that kind of technology, very specialized for the cement industry. It's called oxyfuel of the second generation. And here the idea is quite simple. You know, in the exhaust gas of cement plants, the content of CO2 is relatively low. Yeah, that means only in the order of 15 to 20%, maybe a little bit more. However, in this small concentration, it is quite hard to get then all the CO2 out. So the idea is, how can we increase that CO2 mm-hmm. content? Looking into this off gases, you see then, there is a lot of nitrogen in that. And that is for a reason, because we are running our process in the big kilns and all this incineration, we do that with ambient air. That means ambient air consists 78% of nitrogen. So we have it also in the respective off gas. So the mm-hmm. idea is very simple. Just let us refrain from taking air. Just let us take oxygen. Of course, it sounds very easy. However, it's a huge challenge. And the very good and positive thing is that we, together with three competitors, we are trying that technology out in Mergelstetten plant. And we are building it already. We are not talking about that. We are building mm-hmm. that even if we do not get any public funding for that. We do that just for time reasons. Yeah, that means we want to be fast in this regard. So this is also the reason why we are now investing with all the others more than 100 million euro for that. As I said, without public funding, to get fast to success.
So four manufacturers have joined their forces doing so. So you're yes. kind of a pioneer group. And I know there is another CO2 capture project in the Baltics, right? How does that compare?
Yeah, I mean, all these kind of technologies, to bring that to the point, they are not established. It's not a clear yes that everything will work. So we have to have other plans as well. And second remark, CO2 capturing, there will not be that one silver bullet, that one technology that fits to everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to do with the availability of thermal energy, of electrical energy. There is a lot of things to consider. So there need to be anyway other CO2 technologies for capturing as well in the mm-hmm. in the field. So we are developing something also in the Baltics. It's another process. We have there already one pilot plant current in operation, and we all these technologies which we are investigating, including then the whole CO2 chain which comes afterwards, has the target of having at least one, better two, or better all of our cement plants converted into CO2 capturing by 2030.
That's the goal. Especially Mergelstetten shows how crucial collaboration is. In what ways can partnerships help drive change? I mean, besides money, you've made it up the money topic.
Yeah, of course, one thing is the money. On the other hand, this is not something where each of the companies should work on its own. We are converting the whole industry, the whole cement industry. We are, of course, due to our company, for plants in Germany, too, in the Baltics, we're, of course, looking strongly into the German market in this regard. However, the EU ETS system is not restricted to Germany. So we need solutions for the whole industry. And so I like it also very much that the other three companies are also active in the fields, going also slightly different ways, but we all have to survive in this market, because otherwise, I mean, we would then have to, import then cement from other regions in the world, maybe without any CO2 abatement technologies, we would be dead here in Europe. Mm. However, we would still use cement because cement is at the core of our infrastructure.
The basis of everything we are doing, pretty much. So there's no breakthrough yet, but working together can help achieve important progress. To sum it up, how soon can we expect technologies like CCS or improved recycling to be rolled out on a larger scale? As you've said, it's a long way to go.
It's a long way to go. So we need to touch then, in principle, every single part of the chain. As I said, we feel quite confident to have the CO2 capturing technologies on industrial scale available by 2030. I think that is still very ambitious, but could be done. Then comes then the whole logistics, pipelines. It's a big question mark whether we will have something like that by 2030, if I look onto, in particular, Germany. Yeah. Train wagons, there are respective companies and also respective manufacturing capacities all over Europe. But to give you one number, for one single cement plant, yeah, we have to have two complete CO2 trains daily departing the cement plant. That means, in other terms, if you look then onto an annual basis, each cement plant requires something like 300 train wagons. The overall capacity, train wagon manufacturing capacity of Europe is estimated to could be in the order of 1,000.
That's a massive number again.
Exactly. And it has to be ramped up. And finally, to close that, one of these huge things is the CO2 storage sites. We are way behind that in Germany. We have in the order of several gigatons capacity here in Germany available. However, we are not really moving in this regard. Yeah? Other countries, Norway has been one of the first of these all. Sleipner Field is in operation in a completely different context, but in operation since 1994, if I record it correctly. Denmark has just recently licensed quite a couple of CO2 storage sites for investigation. So others are moving fast. And then if I look and then on 2030, it is ambitious, but we try everything to make it happen.
And on top of that, we have this not in my backyard mentality
yes.
here in our country. But despite all that you've just mentioned, what gives you the most optimism about the future of your industry? Why do you think you can make it? With joint forces, by the way, it's not just your company.
Absolutely. No, it's really, I think it. We can talk about that for the whole industry, that there's a big enthusiasm. And this is also one of these positive remarks, even in my former company, when we started the development of the CO2 capturing technologies, you cannot imagine how many, in particular, of the younger colleagues wanted to join this group. Everyone was most enthusiastic working on the carbonization of our industry. That's one of these huge positive sides, which I like so much. The same holds true here. We are, as we already touched upon, erecting then the Magelstetten plant in this regard. And there are so many people very, very much thrilled collaborating and working. We are training these guys already. So the cement manufacturing goes then significantly different way. All this kind is great. Cross-company collaboration, which we're seeing here in the cement industry, is also great. Yeah, it's on one hand, this huge company of Heidelberg Materials, active all over the world. Then we, as relatively small company, we are also active in the fields. We are collaborating and we try everything to get then the whole thing moving. And as I said, we are already erecting things. We are already doing something, even if there is no political legislation in place, which we require. So there has to happen a lot. But I'm positive it will happen something.
Yeah, me too. Don't stop believing, Georg. That sounds promising and kind of inspiring too. Looks like we are on a future-ready path with the right support and regulatory adjustments. Looking ahead at Bauma 2025, are there any sustainable construction technologies you are especially interested in, as you will be in Munich as well?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, my heart is, of course, beating very strongly onto this whole CO2 thing. But the technologists inside me looks, of course, also very much onto concrete technology. And there we are active in 3D concrete printing. This is also a very interesting technology. We are active in this field as well, together with Putzmeister and Rupp. We just built within 29 hours a small but a nice building here close to Ulm, where I'm currently working. So it works, and that's great, of course, for everyone who is active in this field.
Georg, thank you so much for taking us into your world. It was my pleasure. Thanks for all your valuable insights. I hope you enjoyed it too here in this podcast.
I do. Thank you very much for having me. And the pleasure is all mine.
Professor Dr. Georg Locha. For our listeners, if you enjoyed today's discussion, make sure to tune in for our next episode, where we'll dive into another key topic, the mining challenge. And if you want to dig even deeper into sustainable construction, don't miss the Sustainable Construction Theme Day at the Bauma Forum on Friday, the 11th. It is of April. Leading experts will continue the discussion and explore the future of sustainable building practices in even greater depth. Sustainability in construction is a challenge, but also a huge opportunity. We've heard that the journey ahead requires collaboration, innovation, and decisive action. We hope today's discussion has given you some valuable takeaways and a fresh perspective on what's possible. Thanks for joining us, and see you in Munich at Bauma latest.
Bauma Talk is presented to you by Messe München, powered by VDMA. Bauma is the world's leading fair for construction machinery, building material machines, mining machines, construction vehicles, and construction equipment. Bauma takes place every 3 years in Munich.